Blog Talk Radio.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed.
That's not supposed to be the music for today. This is.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the match.
He did the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the match.
He did the monster match. From my laboratory in the castle.
I said that. I said it as the song to start with, but the old song came up. I don't know why. Hi, everybody. It's the Recruiting Animal back with you again. If you've come to ask questions about telephone sourcing, you're going to have to wait till 12:30. Sorry, because I'm going to talk first, and I have something very important to tell you, as always. Are you ready? Here it is. It's hard to be famous. It is hard to be a celebrity, and you know why? Because when you're famous, everybody thinks they know you. And to prove it, I'm going to give you an example from my own life. At the SourceCon conference in September in Atlanta, Amy Beth Hale met a guy from Toronto, and she set up a meeting for me. For me! A face-to-face meeting! I didn't know the guy, but she thought I'd want to meet him because he lives here in Toronto. But I got news for you, Amy. So do 5 million other people, and I don't want to meet with them. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so this guy calls me and says, hey, I ran into Amy Beth Hale at SourceCon, and she said I should contact you. Okay, I said, I see from your Facebook profile that you're looking for a job. So I'll pass your resume on to anyone I know who's looking for a recruiter. No, he says. Amy said we should meet. Look, I said, what do I want to meet you for? Hey, he said, Amy said we should meet. So I said, listen, pal, you know who you're talking to? I go to Starbucks at 6 o'clock every morning so I don't have to see anybody. So you can repeat yourself 100 times and I'm still not going to meet you. I can be at Starbucks, he says. No, I said. It's really great that Amy's become my social coordinator. But if you show up at Starbucks at 6 a.m., you better write your will, because I'm going to rip you limb from limb. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, oh, he got me mad. Yeah, he says, I know what you're saying, but Amy said we should meet. Now, how do you get rid of a guy like that? I had to do something. So, my guest for today is Jeff Webb from Toronto, courtesy of Amy Beth Hale, and he'll be speaking to me, the recruiting animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show!
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
The age of 6. Now, we're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to talk to Jeff Webb until 12:30. Then Maureen Sharib and Pam Simon are going to answer your questions on their telephone sourcing show called TalkSourcing.com. Capiche? Now, Jeff Webb, come on down. Are you there?
I am here.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, are you a talkative fellow? We haven't ever really, you know, had a good conversation before.
Yeah, I'm pretty talkative.
What do you want to talk about? Shoot.
I was going to talk today about recruiters, you know, and how what it's like to find a job.
Hey, you know, yeah, you sound like a Canadian. So, what do you want to talk about? Well, I got a question for you. I looked at your LinkedIn profile. And it says that you've got your own company called Radical Recruitment. What are you, some kind of communist or something?
Not at all. No, I'm.
But
I'm
why? What does that mean? Radical recruitment.
Well, radical recruitment just means that it's a radical way of recruiting. It's a way of sourcing that I've sort of developed, and also, you know. I talk to a lot of people about employment branding and candidate experience and all that kind of stuff. And so when I talk about candidate experience, I talk about it being a good experience, and that's kind of radical for a lot of recruiters. So,
okay, now I noticed that your current title is senior contract recruiter at, I won't say the companies, but they're all high-tech software firms. And so sourcing, I really didn't think, is that a part of corporate recruiting? I know Maureen teaches some corporate recruiters sourcing. And
yeah, you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not really. I mean, a lot of companies that I talk to will say these days that, you know, they need to have, you know, a full cycle recruiter on board. And I say, okay, well, that's great. So what are those people doing most of the time? Well, you know, they're trying to find people. And so in Canada, at least, no, sourcing is not as well perceived or as well used as it is maybe in California and other parts of the States. But it's certainly getting there. I think people are more and more coming to the conclusion that sourcing is where it's going to be at in recruiting. I mean, finding people is going to be the tough part. It's not going to be moving people through.
So are you a sourcing evangelist?
I sure am.
Oh, okay. And do you get anywhere with people? Do they listen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I've actually got a couple of gigs lined up now where it's.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant. Oh, sorry. No, you go ahead. Maybe you're telling me exactly.
Well, I was going to say where Canadian companies haven't thought of sourcing. I went in. I met with them a couple of times. I've, you know, put together some sourcing stats and whatnot, and they've called me back and said, "Hey, you know what, Jeff? This sounds like it is the way to go. So maybe we're going to engage you and see how it works out."
And what do they engage you as?
As a sourcer for one is in the healthcare area and another one is in the IT area.
Okay, as a sourcer, and do you do internet sourcing?
Internet, yeah, and some phone sourcing, but I can't say that I'm anywhere close to as good as Maureen is.
Okay, well, you've never tested Maureen, I don't think so. You're only assuming that she's good, right, Maureen?
That's right.
Okay.
People assume the most dangerous things.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now you have a group on Facebook dedicated to finding you a job. Am I right about that?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of groups. I mean, I've got the Facebook group, and I've also got a LinkedIn group that's the Canadian Recruitment Professionals Association. And so what I did when I put those together was I thought to myself, you know what? One of the problems that I see here, I mean, in Canadian specifically, but one of the problems I see in Canada is that we have in the States, there are tons of lists, tons of groups of recruiters who get together. They talk about, you know, what's open, what's available, how we can help each other out in finding new work or new gigs or, you know, what gigs are not great to do. It occurred to me that I've never seen anything like that in Canada. I've seen a few people try it and not do very well, so I thought, you know what, I'll start off with LinkedIn and see how far we can get.
Yeah, but your our focus today is about your job hunt. And
yeah.
The Facebook group, of which I am a member, is specifically called something like Find Jeff a Job or something like that, isn't it?
No, it's called Sourcing from the Great White North, but no,
okay.
It's not meant specifically for finding me a job.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I was convinced that it was. And has that done anything for you? Because, I mean, you must have told us that you were looking for a job because I've recommended you to a number of people. I knew you were looking for a job. Did you put out messages through your channel?
Yeah, I put it out through excuse me, through Facebook, I'm getting a cold too, through Facebook, through LinkedIn, through all of the social networking channels. So.
Okay, so if somebody's looking for a job, would you advise them to set up a LinkedIn group and also a Facebook group and solicit members and then send them messages about themselves?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, the more networking you can do, the better, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's going to take some time. I mean, that was one of my lessons this time is I was very specific about, I was pretty picky about what I wanted. and having thought, you know, having thought to myself, well, I've got all these social networking connections, so surely, you know, I'll put out the word and then a day and a half later people will be knocking down my door and saying, hey, we should engage this guy. Really didn't happen that way. It was a sort of a 2 to 3 month long process before the word got out.
Really, I got to tell you, that's one thing. I saw that you had started this group and that you were looking for a job. And then you were looking for a job for an extended period of time, and I wondered, well, what's wrong with this guy? Now, you're telling me nothing was wrong with you. It just doesn't work that way. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. It takes
also, some time. You told me, I think you were fussy.
Yes.
So you were looking, yeah, what were you looking for?
I only wanted to work for a corporate environment. I wasn't really interested in doing sort of agency type
mm-hmm.
work.
Yep.
And, you know, and I wanted to make sure that it was a role with some seniority where it was, you know, an opportunity to build out either a sourcing team or, you know, create a sourcing function.
Can you talk a little louder, Jeff?
Sorry, I was saying that I was wanting to make sure that it was creating a sourcing function or building out a sourcing team or some sort of role with seniority.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted only to, you know, originally I wanted only a contract as well. So, you know, finding those three, sort of my big three must-haves in a role within the Toronto area or even virtual, and a lot of companies are not really going for virtual right now. It was another...
Virtual, you mean off-site?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, telecommuting. Okay, let me, I found that they are, although not corporate. So I want to ask you one question and see if anybody in the couch over there has a question for you. Why do you want to work as a corporate recruiter? We always hear these guys denigrated in the blogs.
You know, I like working directly with corporations. I like working with hiring managers directly. I like bringing people on board. And then watching them grow in their career, and that allows me the opportunity to do that. So, and also because I get to be a lot more innovative, I think. You know, when you're working on the corporate side, I can...
Why? Because they're so far behind?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, but also...
In a lot of cases.
Aren't they hidebound as well? I mean, you must have to do an awful lot of selling internally in order to get your ideas put forward. You put forward business cases with figures, et cetera. How do you do that?
With metrics, with return on investment, with, you know, and a lot of those things I take from client to client. And so, you know, I have the statistics there and they're always available. So,
uh-huh. The statistics, is that the French?
The statistics, yes. I'm from, you know, Quebec. No. But we have the statistics available and the metrics available all the time. So I keep on going to clients and saying this is the way that corporations should recruit. And I've had a lot of fun doing that. I mean, I've had a lot of success and a lot of fun.
I'm sorry I didn't bill you as a sourcer now. Anybody have a question for Jeff?
Well, yes, I do. With you,
that's Pam.
Yes.
Right, Pam.
So with you working on finding your own job and setting your specifics of what would make you happy and what would fulfill you, you know, for your next job, do you think it helped you understand better how to find people that you're recruiting by going through the process yourself? And what did you find that worked and didn't work?
So what, you know, I think what didn't work was, you know, if I went on a job board and at the early part of my search, I thought, you know, I'll try the various different job boards. That didn't work very well. You know, my resume probably got lost in a maze of hundreds of thousands.
Really? Which job boards did you use?
I used Workopolis, Monster, Dice.
Uh-huh. Pam, I'm just going to ask a quick question here because people ask me. I don't use that job board that often. Between Workopolis and Monster.ca, here in Canada, Workopolis is a big job board here in Toronto. Which one's better? Which one's more active? Or are they the same?
Are you asking that for Pam or for...
No, for you. Pam's in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. I would say Workopolis is probably the more active job board.
Uh-huh.
It seems to get more hits here in Toronto.
Uh-huh. You know what? I'm surprised. I get a lot of requests for recruiters through LinkedIn. Have you been getting them as well?
Yeah.
They are for management, like Hudson Management is always sending stuff around, but other people as well. Sorry, go ahead. So you answer Pam now.
What I think has worked really well is the social network. So the things like LinkedIn, LinkedIn, Facebook.
You got to talk
into
the receiver.
Really
Jeff, you got to talk into the receiver.
Oh, sorry.
That's
what
good.
What I found was really effective was Facebook, LinkedIn, and also doing my own marketing. So when I took all the LinkedIn all of my LinkedIn folks who are my first degree connections, put together a little marketing blurb about myself, and then shot that out to them, and that got the best response. That got the most amount of people saying, "Okay, I know exactly what he wants."
Really,
I can
from strangers, right? Like I recommend. I sent your resume to two different people, and I didn't know you from Adam.
Right.
But I got.
Yeah, absolutely. I got people who, you know, looked at the testimonials and looked at the resume and then looked at, you know, what my blurb about myself, and then they would just call me up and say, oh, you know what, you sound perfect for something we're working on, so maybe we can work together.
Pam, did he answer your question?
Yes. But did it also help you, do you think, by going through this yourself, did it kind of give you more in-depth, or more in-depth understanding of when you're looking for people by going through your own experience? How to reach them, how to find them.
I mean, and I think that the thing that I learned there was that, you know, if you're going to be finding passive candidates, marketing to them is not a bad way to do it. And so, you know, you can utilize various different networks. The other thing I did was I searched on blogs for, you know, blogs by recruitment managers and got in touch directly with them. You know, I searched
for
white
papers. Who writes
a blog
by a recruitment manager? What recruitment managers in Toronto?
I was looking for folks mainly in the California area.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, to do off-site sourcing. I see.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Which recruitment managers in California? Oh, Jeff Hunter had a blog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So go ahead. Anything else, Pam? There.
I got a couple of
questions. You
sure.
have 25 recommendations on LinkedIn. How did you
yep.
get those?
I asked for them.
From people you knew or strangers?
No, from people I knew,
uh-huh.
people I'd worked with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's important when you're building out your LinkedIn profile. I mean, people aren't going to recommend you without you asking them, right? You have
mm-hmm.
to go out and
I don't think you can. I was trying to recommend my friend, and I looked at his profile, and I think he's got to invite me to recommend him. Isn't that the case, or... Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you can do your own. You can recommend people as well, and they have to accept it.
Yeah, okay.
I think you can go out and say you can recommend them. Yeah.
Okay. And so you mentioned LinkedIn. You mentioned Facebook. I was going to ask Maureen a question later, and I'll put it to her later on. But I'll ask you right now. What about all these other networks like Doosting, Rise, Tribe, Spoke? Did you work them as well?
I didn't work Spoke. I worked Doosting as well. Ning.com. I worked a little bit of those networks as well. So Ning is a tool that allows you to create your own social network.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so I went in there to see if there were any sort of recruiting-centric social networks that people
like recruitingblogs.com?
Yeah.
J.D. Jason Davis, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so Doosting, did you get results there too? I'm just curious.
No.
I never used these. Are they active?
You know, I didn't get many results from Doosting. I contacted a few people, but
uh-huh.
They were either old or, you know, no longer active. So I'm not sure if that's a very active network right now.
Uh-huh. Maureen, do you have a comment on that, or do you want to talk about it later?
Talk about the network?
Yeah, like these other, you know, non-LinkedIn. I mean, like Doosting, Rise, things like
that.
The
only one I'm really using these days is LinkedIn and Doosting a little bit. I'm not using Rise. I'm not using Spoke. I think I'm not using Always On. I just feel like they've kind of fallen behind.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, it's hard for you to keep your profile active on every one of these networks. So.
It is. I mean, how many can you do? I have a question for Jeff.
Go ahead.
Jeff, do you find when you're inside corporate that they understand what sourcing is, or your hiring managers, do they understand what sourcing is and what you can do for them, and what is their reaction if and when you explain to them what you can do for them?
I think the number one reaction is mouths agape.
So
their mouths hang open.
Exactly.
You know, I'll sit there and say, here's what source I would like to, you know, I would like us to focus on sourcing, and most hiring managers will say, focus on what?
Uh-huh.
You know, what is sourcing? What are you talking about? And then, you know, I explain to them that, you know, I explain to them the idea of the, you know, the talent shortage, and, you know, we've all probably seen the presentations on how badly the talent shortage is going to hit us over the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. And then I explain, you know, that the reason why you want to hire a passive candidate versus an active candidate, and, you know, there's productivity reasons, there's
louder.
There's longevity reasons. My phone is awful. Sorry.
No. When you talk into the receiver, I can hear you.
And then I talk about, you know, what sourcing can do in terms of, you know, finding those passive candidates, and the reason why you want to break out the recruiting relationship, which is the account management function, or, you know, dealing with those candidates and bringing those candidates through the interview process, and why you would want a separate group that's simply dedicated to finding you passive candidates to fill the pipeline. And, you know, and a lot of them will sit there and say, but what if I don't have any requirements in that area? Well, you know, you still want to find, you still want to pipeline candidates, because your ideal situation is when your requirement drops down, you know, drops from above, you want to be able to say, okay, well, I have a pipeline of people that are available for that job, and I can fill it much more quickly, and I can fill it with the best person. So, you know,
is it an
once
easy
they,
sell?
Once
is
they
it
see,
a hard sell?
Sorry?
Is it an easy sell or a hard sell? Or
it's not a, it's a fairly, you know, it's a fairly easy sell as long as I think the managers buy into the fact that they're not going to be able to find people as easily as they normally would have.
Right.
You know, one of my jobs, one of the companies I was working with, they were relocating 75% of their people, you know, in from other geographical areas. So that's an easy way to sell sourcing, because if you say you're spending $15,000 or above a pop per person and you're relocating 75% of your people, then you better be getting the best of the best. And so, you know, for when I was working with them, they were like, yeah, sourcing makes sense for us because, you know, we have to find those people and we'd like to find them closer to home.
Okay, I have a question for you. In terms of, actually, John Sullivan, who's well known on ERE, he had an interview with Chris Russell, the recruitingfly.com. And just the other day, he was down at the ERE convention, and he said a company like Google does a fantastic job recruiting. He also said to get the innovative candidates in high tech, which you're familiar with, or, you know, software development, you have to do things like put up a billboard at the side of the road or have a contest on your website. Those didn't seem that exciting to me, but he said this gets those guys going, and they say, you know, through the blogs, there's the whispers pass or the message goes out that, you know, this company's doing exciting things. Are those the kind of stunts that you indulge in or engage in for those high-tech companies that you're sourcing for?
Sometimes. It depends.
Give me an example.
I mean, the worst stunt that I ever pulled.
The worst or the best?
Well, actually, the worst.
The baddest.
Probably the baddest, yeah.
Okay.
I found out that one of our competitors were having a layoff, and so I took a barbecue and a table, and I went over to their parking lot. And
now,
I
why was that bad?
Said, well, it was bad because I think the competitor was probably pretty ticked off that we were setting up a barbecue out in
their
parking
lot. He's laying his people
lot.
Off, and he's ticked off that you're willing to give them jobs, right? I'm
yeah.
I'm trying to follow this logic.
I could never follow it either.
Yeah, well,
he'd
take the ones
one
who weren't being laid off as well, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, because they're you know, people get upset, they get worried, they come out, they have a hot dog, they want to give you their resume, and, you know, you get the best. Whether they
were you on their property? That's a good start. You got guts. I'm impressed.
Yeah. No, we were on their property.
Well,
I've also gone and ridden the elevators in office buildings, just trying to meet people and say, oh,
really? That's
yeah.
great.
That is great.
And how did you know who's going to what company? You just go up to strange women and say, are you with such and such a company?
No, I'll just, well, strange people, not necessarily strange women.
Okay.
But
well,
strange
no, those
people.
Are the ones who are going to react most negatively.
How do you get into some companies? Because some companies, you know, you need a pass to get onto their premises.
People don't even lock their doors in Canada, though.
No. Huh? No, I was going to say, most companies, that's not the case. I mean, I've got friends in security.
who is that? Who knows all about Canada?
Hey, I've seen Michael Moore's movies. I know
yeah,
all about
right.
Canada.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 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 You know what? Just while it's on, I have a good friend, an online friend. I've never met him in New York, but I feel like he's a close friend. And after he saw Sicko, he said, oh, you know, it's paradise in Canada. All we hear about are complaints that no one can get into the hospital in time, so they go south of the border so they can have their operation before they die.
Really?
Yes. It's am I right, Jeff, or wrong?
Yeah, no, that's all over the media up here. So it's all dependent on where, you know, what your perspective is, I think.
We don't see that down here. That's interesting.
Anyway, you continue. Jeff, I want to ask you a quick question. Thanks, Maureen. That was an interesting story. I asked him that question, not you. I'm taking that back. Jeff, what is it you'd like to get out of this interview? Because you sounds like you've got a job already. Am I right about that? Your search is done.
Yeah. No, I just thought I would come and I would talk about, you know, some of the things that I learned during the job search. I mean, I have to tell you, I kind of at the end of the day, after at the end of a couple of months, I was starting to lament that recruiters had, you know, had gone down in my estimation, because the people I was talking with, you know, people I was talking with were you know, hey, Jeff, so do you have this job, you know, this skill set? And they would be reading off of a job description. I'd go, okay, so what does your client really need? Do they need somebody to come in and fill their pipeline of talent? And they'd go, well, can you recruit for finance people? And I'd go, yes. Do they want me to fill a pipeline, though? What do they want me to do? And they'd look at me with these blank stares, and I'd go, do you know what your client wants? Do you have any idea? And, you know, and this happened, you know, more than a few times, and I thought to myself, God, if I could just get out there and say to people, you know, come on, get to know your clients, get to partner with them, get to know their requirements and what they're trying to solve. Treat your candidates well, otherwise, you know.
So you're not impressed by the recruiting talent that you met, people who tried to recruit you.
Yeah.
Did you ever take that into a meeting with you? Because I see you one of your titles was something like HR and Recruitment Administration. Oh, that's not a leader. What does that mean, by the way? Or did you ever, like, here was what I was going to ask. Were you ever brought in to train the other people? The other recruiters?
Yes. Yeah, no, I did a lot of training in a couple of my clients, yes.
Uh-huh.
So
well, why
I
were you looking for a job? Did your contract end?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And how long was the process? Once you made up your mind, you know, where you wanted to go, exactly what you wanted to do, how long was the entire process for you?
2 months.
Okay.
Yep.
2 months to get the job you want, not just any job, right?
That's right.
And the scale, well, I can't, I don't know if I should ask you this, but on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, heaven, how happy are you with the results?
I'd say I'm about an 8.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's realistic good. And how many opportunities did you turn down? Either not just, you know, I don't want to go to the interview, or they gave you an offer and you said...
I think it's probably somewhere in the range of about 10 or 10 or
really?
15.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
So you were quite active. I mean, you had a lot of opportunities, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, no, absolutely. I had calls every day of people saying, you know, I run this group and I, you know, I'd love to have somebody like you work for me. And I'd say, well, not really a fit for me, but thanks so much. If I know somebody, I'll pass them along.
Mm-hmm.
There were many, as I just described, where I would go in and they would not have a clue what it was that they were recruiting for, and I would just say, well, you know, figure it out before you call me back.
Okay, and you were marketing yourself as a sourcer, an all-round sourcer, and also as what I guess Shally might call a networker, or somebody else would call a recruiter, someone who actually follows through on the sourcing. Is that right?
That's right, yep.
So you do both?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to initiate? We're getting close to
Jeff, do you like to telephone source?
I would love to know more about telephone sourcing. I haven't done it a lot. You know, so
what's your biggest challenge?
Getting up the one that you always talk about, picking up the phone and actually doing it. There's a lot of fear, I think, when you pick up a phone that, you know, somebody's going to give you a hard time on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're internet sourcing, you don't worry about that as much because you're looking up names and, you know, you're just
the internet
looking up names
talk
on the
back.
Computer. No, exactly.
Oh, it doesn't push back.
No, it doesn't push back. People either send you an email saying no thanks, or you know, or they don't send you an email at all. But when you put a Boolean command in,
you're going to get results.
Hey, Maureen, your show doesn't start for another 2 minutes, okay? I want to give
you hijacking you.
Get his message out before we go to you.
I'm sorry, Jeff. We'll give you a couple minutes of.
But he
show.
Wanted to
go
talk
ahead.
To you. He told me in advance. Okay. No, Jeff, you got. 2 or 3 minutes to, you know, make a statement. Do you feel like I've got
you
anywhere?
Always put people on the spot with that, Mont.
With what? I'm giving them a platform. What more can you ask for? There's millions of people
listening to this guy. You want them to
encapsulate.
It's nerve-wracking being on this show for the first time.
Okay.
Give the guy a break.
Look, Jeff, do you have any...
It's like taking a test with you.
Tell her to be quiet, will you? I mean, no wonder she gets the name she wants. Okay, now, do you want to say something, Jeff? Your moment
I would
done.
Just... You know, I would just say that, you know, if you're out there, if you're a recruiter, if you're in the corporate environment, I just think we could do a whole lot better. You know, as a profession, we can learn how to source better. We could learn how to find better candidates. We could learn how to interview them better. We could learn how to treat them better. And if you're not doing that, then you know eventually you're going to be in trouble. And I don't care how many brochures you put out saying you're the best employer in the world. If people aren't having a good time when they come in your door, if they're not feeling good about the interview process, then they're not coming back.
So you didn't
and
tell us
are...
all this stuff. So you it sounds like you ran into crappy interviews. Like people, you mentioned that people don't know a good definition of the position they're recruiting for. Yes or no? That's
absolutely.
One of the problems, right?
Yep.
What's the other problem that you're talking about?
you know, just people who would sit there. I went through, you know, a few meetings where people would, you know, grill me on, you know, do you know this company? Do you know that company? And then they would get to the end of the position and they'd say, well, you know, we really don't have anything for you. And I'd say, well, did you have a requirement when you phoned me? And they said, well, no, not really. We just wanted to chat. And I said, okay,
fine.
I don't have a problem with chatting with people. I'm fine with networking. I just wish you would have been upfront with me beforehand and told me that you didn't have anything. Because, you know, at least I could have come in without the expectation that there would be some sort of...
Now, were those primarily recruiting agencies who did that to you, or you never, didn't even go out to these guys?
No, they were both recruiting agencies and folks who were in the corporate world.
Okay, now I'm going to make the switch, a formal switch to the... Well, Maureen, let me ask you. I booked an hour and a half this time because they extended the time, but we want to give you a half an hour in the hour, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to make a formal switch for the very first time.
Okay, but if Jeff has some more he wants to say, I'm
Yeah, he's going to talk to you. It's going to be the exact same. It's
okay.
Like a border changing. You're still in the same city. We're going to continue this conversation in a minute,
okay. But
on the Talk Sourcing Show.
Okay.
Everybody, Jeff, I want to thank you for being my guest today. Hold on one second, and I want to introduce, let me see, here we go.
Pam, are you getting this?
I'm not quite sure.
It's Halloween! I want to introduce the woman who's the vampire of the recruitosphere. She can suck the soul out of a company faster than something. And her sidekick, Pam Simonstein. That doesn't sound very scary. Sounds like you're my neighbor. But that's your name for the end of this show.
Oh.
Okay. Enough of that.
I thought we were going to do in through the bathroom window or something.
Well, I've got that too, but it's Halloween, and you made a big deal about that. That was good music. Jeff, wasn't that good?
I loved it.
Okay, now before you continue your conversation, I got somebody else on the line whose voice I recognize, but I don't recognize his phone. Oh, it's Nick. Nick Palmer, am I right?
You are correct.
So let me, he's a smart guy, Jeff, just before we continue, and just, Maureen, just give me a second. Is there anything, Nick, that you would like to say there? Dr. Nick.
Well, just expanding on a comment you made earlier about trying to manage all the different social networks, I completely agree with Maureen. There's a lot of them out there, and many of them have fallen by the wayside. The biggest issue is finding the ones that are going to work and produce for you. And what that network is probably going to be a little different for every other person.
Okay. Now, Maureen.
Yes.
I got some news for you.
Okay.
You have no callers asking questions except us. So you can lead now. You can take over with Jeff. Jeff is now your guest.
Okay. Jeff, do you have any questions about telephone name sourcing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I've read about...
Hold on. Wait a sec. What, weren't you scolding him first at the end of the last show? I want to finish.
I was
like
scolding
that.
You, Michael, not
okay,
him.
So go, okay. So you and Jeff go ahead. But you know what? Even though I'm in the control room, I will...
Okay. Don't interrupt. Cut
oh.
us off.
Okay.
Whatever you do.
Yeah.
I was just going to... You know, I was just going to say, you know, I'm fairly new with telephone sourcing. I've read your stuff on the Magic Method, and so I thought to myself, you know what, it'd be great just to sort of sit there and chat with you and say, okay, so, you know, wow, you know, how do you get over some of these challenges, or how do you teach people to get over some of these challenges without giving away all of your secrets?
I'm willing to give away all the secrets.
Okay.
I don't hold anything back.
You should read recruitingbloggers.com. I mean, there's a whole lesson. There's a course there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? You know, Pam and I were talking before the show that we might talk a little bit, if we didn't have any callers, about how we felt when we first started doing telephone name sourcing. We had all these same fears, and I call it stinking thinking. You know, you think about what they're going to say and how they're going to react to you, and most of what you think is going to happen never happens. Would you agree with that, Pam?
Oh, yeah.
When you first started working... What
yeah.
did you think? You didn't. Let's go back to what Jeff said. You didn't know what telephone name sourcing was, did you?
I had no idea.
I didn't either in the beginning.
No, I had no idea, and I had no idea that I could pick up a phone and ask a question. And why in the heck would anybody who didn't know me from Adam tell me the answer?
Isn't that amazing?
And the other thing, and I know this sounds weird, but you feel like they can see you.
You feel like they can see you?
Yes. You. What happens is, and this is, you know, in the very beginning, and you know this. I would, you know, you know, you were training me on little teeny tiny jobs. You know,
mm-hmm.
just try to get 10 names on this, or
mm-hmm.
try to get this person. And
mm-hmm.
and I remember picking up the phone and calling, and I figured that they could see. I know that sounds weird, but I, honest to God, was so worried that they could actually see me, like with, you know, my face turning red with embarrassment, or...
Now, how would they be able to see you?
Well, I know, but you don't think about, you know,
you
just, all
that.
Of a sudden, you just feel like...
Do you think it has something to do with, I think, really good telephone sources like you, Pam, you put yourself in that place. You
yeah.
place yourself in front of that receptionist. So, in a sense, you feel that you can see her.
Right. Well, not only that, but it, you know...
And she looks pretty mean from the sound of it, right?
No, I know that sounds really weird, even though you know you have a phone, and even though, you know, all of that, you still think that they can see you. You know, that they're going to just absolutely know from the moment you pick up that they pick up that phone that you're, like, you know, breaking the rules or you're doing something wrong or...
I know. Where does all this guilt come from, Pam?
Oh, I'm not... Well, because I think we were told, you know, don't tell a lie, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you know, it's like until you really understand what you're doing, which I didn't really, and it's a process, and Maureen kept telling me, it will become a process where you start to listen to their voice, you start to listen to your voice, you have a better understanding of the target person that you're looking for, and it also, you're going through this entire education process, which is, how does a company work, which is what I finally learned to do. It's like, you know, get on the website and figure out how their company works before you just dive in, because
mm-hmm.
that kind of helps you.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like a bull in a china shop. And it's really learning to think before you speak.
Think before you speak.
Right.
You said, yeah.
Right. And the other thing I think is that you...
Think about what?
What?
Think about what before you speak?
You think about exactly what you're looking for, exactly what your target is.
You read the job description. Like
yeah, you read the job description, and sometimes you go to the company website, and you find out the jobs that are posted, and you know, and you start to get an idea. And this goes back to what Jeff was saying, is that a lot of these recruiters, because you, Maureen and I deal with this, they'll say, we would like to hire this person. Can you find this person? And it has absolutely nothing to do with the job description.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who they're looking for, what they do even. So it just, so that was the, you know, the very beginning lessons was that I was nervous because we're trained, it's none of your business, don't ask too many questions, you know, old media terms would be called corporate rating, and then you really learn what sourcing is. And it's about finding potential candidates for, you know, companies, and somebody might end up with a better life or a better, you know, job or a better deal.
An opportunity that they would
right.
have had no chance of being exposed to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was the process, you know. And then when I really, you know, and then I started making the connection between my mind and my voice and the other person's voice, you know, you go in with a little bit more confidence and more control and more education, and it's like you can ask that question.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have so much thinking.
Right.
I think
it's natural. It's natural to feel apprehensive in the beginning,
right?
Because, like Jeff said, it's fear of the phone. People
right.
are afraid to pick that phone up.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff. What were you going to ask?
I was going to say that I also think a lot of the fear comes from. I mean, if you came from the HR side of the house,
right?
Through HR to recruitment, you were taught, I think, right off the bat that poaching is bad. Poaching is,
right.
You know, that can land you in trouble.
So where does that come from? Where does that mindset come from?
Human
Does that come
forces.
From the legal department?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I mean, in a lot of cases, I remember when I was young and, you know, stupid in my career, and, you know, people would say to me, well, no, if you get somebody from that company, you know, the vice president of, you know, their legal department is going to come down on us, they're going to do a cease and desist, we're going to get in trouble, that maybe that person's going to get sued for breaking their non-competes, and, you know, a lot of that is rubbish. It doesn't
Most
actually
Most of it
happen.
Is rubbish.
It never happened.
Because
yeah.
most employees... do not have non-competes or contracts.
And some of the smart ones just choose not to sign them.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You have to let those people manage their own risk, right? You can't just sit there and say, I'm not going to do this because I might put somebody potentially in danger possibly, but, oh.
Right.
But I think that's where we get a lot of the fear of, you know,
we're going to do something wrong.
But wait a second,
right.
Jeff or Maureen, you mm-hmm. cannot telephone source from inside a company.
From
you
inside
have to be external.
A company.
What do you mean?
What do you mean from inside a company?
I had a friend who went in as a contract recruiter, but for like 7 years, he recruited all of their salespeople.
Uh-huh.
Excellent telephone sourcer, and he came into the office to interview those people. But otherwise, he worked from his home, and they would not want him doing telephone sourcing from within their own company building.
Well, some companies see it as filled problematic because they don't understand it, and that's why we're so vocal on the subject. We're trying to get enlightenment out about the subject so that companies can make informed decisions. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
No, absolutely. I don't think that they. I mean, I think that a lot of them are even internet sourcing. They're kind of saying, well, you know, don't call the person. Well,
how do you make contact with the person?
So I always ask the question. So what do you want me to do? You want me to get you a bunch of names and you can have it in your database and then you're not going to do any. Or do you want to hire people?
Right.
Because if you want to hire good people, you obviously are going to have to contact them and at some point talk to them.
Yeah. And that's the whole key. It is about talking. I mean, you can look great on paper. They can look great on paper. But if you can't talk to a person.
If you can't bring them in.
Right. If you can't communicate with a person, why would you want to work for them anyway? You know, that's bizarre.
I'd like to say something about the fear factor. Going back to that, Pam brought up something before when we were talking about guilt. Where does all this guilt come from? And a lot of people have the mistaken idea that you have to call up and you have to lie to get names. You don't. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And there are ways to approach gatekeepers, and you've seen me writing a lot on it lately. There are ways to approach gatekeepers that will elicit information. You don't have to lie. You don't have to ruse. But there's a mistaken concept in the industry that is what it takes, and it doesn't. It doesn't. So I think that's where some of the fear and the guilt comes from, because they think they're going to be asked to call up and lie to get information. It's just not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that you, Michael?
Yeah, well, there was no one was saying anything. You have to keep the conversation going for me.
Mm-hmm.
You're the hostess.
So okay. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are we going to get to talk before you? Who's asking the question?
Oh, this is Nick.
Nick, okay. Nick, before you ask your question, I want to ask Michael, are we going to get to talk about Mikhail Gorbachev today? Pam met Mikhail Gorbachev. Remember on our last show we were talking about all the celebrities?
Yeah, but you got a real live person here asking you a question.
I know, we're going to go back to Nick, but at some point, are we going to be able to do that? I know you don't.
Sure, when you have a minute of dead air, you know,
okay,
bring
okay.
up Mikhail.
Nick certainly isn't dead air, so Nick.
So I haven't read a lot of your stuff, but I have read some. One of the things that I always had the most fun with, because I'm a monkey that likes to push buttons, is hacking through the automated directories.
Oh,
Nick, you have to talk louder. Please write into your speaker.
Is hacking through automated directories.
Okay.
And how would you use that type of thing where you can go through and kind of like just get random lists of names off of the employee directory?
You're talking about the telephone bank?
Yeah.
Right. So like the automated directory, you can go in, like if you don't know your party's extension, press, you know, zero now or press star.
And how do we use that?
Yeah. Like do you use that as a method to get names?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning of my career, I did a lot of that because I didn't know how to telephone name source. I'm really self-taught. So in order to find, think about it, a company's telephone directory holds most of their employees. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Who said yeah? You, Pam?
I did.
Okay. Nick, would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Isn't that an amazing concept, though? That's an open door to the world. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, would you agree with that?
I would, yes.
So if you can go in and pull down all the names off a particular office, off their phone telephone directory, you have everybody that's in that listed that's in that company. Not everybody, but most of the people that are at that company. Your next job, though, is to title identify those names, right?
Right.
And there are ways to do that. We do it. One way we do it is by just listening to the voicemails, putting the clues together. It's time-consuming. Nobody is saying telephone name sourcing is not time-consuming. It's extremely time-consuming. But if you will take the time to, say, listen to 100 voicemails of a company's location, you'll get a pretty good idea. You might get 15 to 20% of those title identified just by listening to their voicemails.
Yeah, because some of the information, and this is also becoming findable as we were discussing, if you just even say, hey, this is Pam in marketing, then I know I've hit the marketing department. Or if you get somebody, you know, this is so-and-so, you know, I'm not in right now, but if you need to contact me and there's a cell phone, then you start getting an idea, this is a person out in the field. Is that sales? Is that a technician? What is that? And it starts, you know, and it really does not only help you become findable, but it also helps the recruiter start figuring out, okay, these are some of the departments, you know, the different departments in the company, which
for instance,
you can go back into live.
For instance, out of that 100 voicemails you listen to, 15 or 20 of them might say, I'm not in, but if you can't get a hold of me, contact my admin, Lisa.
Right.
You know, you get 10 or 15 of those guys saying that, you know that that's a group that hangs together.
Right.
Now, the idea is to keep meticulous notes of everything you're hearing. You know, when Pam and I are working, we have our headsets on, our fingers are on our keyboard, and everything that's coming in through our ears is going through our fingers into the keyboard, into the work document.
Right. And then, you know, if you get a name and you're not quite sure what they do, you can call that person, you know, at a different time and get them live and say, is this the, you know, so-and-so department? No, you need blank. That happens about 50% of the time. They'll ship you to the right person.
The idea is to hit them fast and hit them hard, right, Pam?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before
surprise
they start talking.
Use the element of surprise.
What does that mean?
Well, when you call, like Pam said, you know, the guy answers and you say, is this the marketing department? He's more than likely to say yes or no than he is to ask you any questions back.
What about the telephone banks that require the three first letters of the person's name before?
That's easy to do.
Oh, yeah, that's super easy.
How?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's try two.
ABC works.
Yeah, let's try 278 and see what happens. You're looking at a possible permutation of anywhere from 27 to 42 different letter combinations and names that you can pull up by hitting any three random letters on the keyboard.
That usually requires a vowel somewhere in between. Does that make sense?
Yeah. After you do
there's less than 50 combinations?
No, he's saying just in the 278, aren't you, Nick?
Yeah. So if you type in, if you hit 287 or
278. Well, let's back up. Some people listening don't know what we're talking about.
Oh,
no?
If you look on your phone and you see you got all those little letters and numbers, that's how the telephone banks work. So if you go in and you hit 287 to get the vowel in between, I agree with you. That's
Nick, please shout into the receiver.
Oh, sure. Then
you're not talking into the receiver. That's a problem. People can't hear it when they listen on the recording.
No, I'm just using my headset, which
is very good. Now it's good.
So if you type in 287, you're looking at three possible letters for that first letter. You're looking at three possible letters for the second one, and then four possible for the last one. So you're looking at a total of 36 different possible starts to a name that could be in there.
Right.
For each button.
But here's a trick, and I tell all my students this when I go on site. When you are doing a phone bank, if it first invites you, for our directory, press star, right? You know how they say that. So you press star, and then it starts to tell you, if you know the person's last name, push the first three letters of the last name and then press pound. Okay. Do not press three letters and never press pound. Here's the reason. Just press one. Just press two. When I'm saying just press one, just press the number two and wait. Don't press pound because it seems like when you press pound, it tells the system that you haven't pressed enough. Sometimes if you wait, after only pressing one, it will spit all the names starting with A, B, or C.
Right.
That's a trick that a lot of people don't know.
Right, it'll tell you,
effective.
You know, there are six names, you know, press this to, for, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you just start, you know, banging out the names.
So even though it tells you to press three or press four letters, mm-hmm. just press one and see if it doesn't give you everything. And then if it tells you you haven't entered enough letters, you know how some of them will do that, just press one more. And again, even though it's told you to enter three or four, sometimes two is enough to kick it off.
Right.
To start to spill. We call it spilling.
Spilling.
The names directory spills names.
May I remind you of something, Maureen?
Yes.
Aren't you going to make an announcement about one of your events upcoming?
Oh. I'm speaking on Tuesday in Cincinnati.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's one of them.
One of them, yes.
You want to say a little more about it?
Tuesday morning, I'm speaking at the breakfast meeting for the Greater Cincinnati Human Resources Association, and it's going to be in downtown Cincinnati at the Baldwin Building. It's a free event for those who are members of the association, and if you would like to attend, go to the website. I think it's Greater Cincinnati, GCHRA.com, and it should give you some information there. I wasn't ready for that, Michael. I don't have all the, you know, the.
It's okay. Sorry. I thought you asked me to mention something that was upcoming.
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate
that. Are you doing something else as well?
In November, I'm supposed to be speaking at Kennedy
mm-hmm.
On November 14th and on telephone name sourcing, I think in the late morning. That's at the Kennedy Conference in Orlando. I think I follow Shally, and I think I'm in right before Lou Adler.
Okay. Just trying to help.
I know. Pammy's trying to help.
You can always go to techtrack.com for more information.
Oh, that's right. If you need anybody to do name sourcing for us, we can do it.
You better.
Telephone name sourcing, that is.
That TechTrack is TechTrack.com. I think
right.
You should forward another name there that member and go with that. But go back, 10 minutes left.
Gorbachev.
Okay. Okay.
Did we answer your question, Nick?
Jeff, is it okay if she tells you about Gorbachev?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Did we answer your question?
Oh, yeah.
That's a fascinating subject, telephone directories, telephone banks.
You can write a book about it when you retire.
Hmm.
Oh, don't wait till then.
Do we have any other questions?
Well, you will. You said you want to talk about Gorbachev.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about Gorbachev. Michael, set it up. Tell the audience what Pam's background.
Pam, and this actually surprised me because Pam said she's has a feeling that, you know, she's being X-rayed by these nasty gatekeepers, receptionists.
Oh yeah, in the beginning, I have to tell you, and this is
she got over it.
Yes, yeah, speaking of gatekeepers, and I will tell you, and Jeff, Nick, all of you, just so you know that when the very first month I was sourcing for Maureen, I really felt like the government was spying on me. I thought,
they are.
Somebody's going to like knock at my door and I'm going to be so arrested for calling into a company.
And asking questions.
Just for
and now,
asking
now here,
questions.
Now you must have gone to the opposite extreme because you're associated with somebody who doesn't know the meaning of a secret.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I remember the first time I had to, we were looking for particular people in a defense company. And we were calling into other defense companies. I went, oh my God, I know that the satellite is beaming over my house right now and somebody's going to knock on my door and I'm going
to
be so arrested.
That's just Google. Don't worry about it.
I know.
Not the government.
I was so scared.
Yeah, but
remember
listen.
Your father used to say, Pam, is it legal?
Yeah, my father doesn't want to quite know what I do.
Okay, but I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I was doing the introduction. Pam used to be a radio host. You're used to talking in a room to nobody, right?
Right, to nobody. But
yeah, but did you know there's people out there? Did you feel they were looking at you?
Well, here's the funny part about radio training. When we were all starting on the air back in the day, part of our training was to get a picture of who your audience was and put it in your head. And it was like you were talking to that one person directly. However, the difference is it was all my content. And, you know, and people, you know, were listening to me. I wasn't asking them nothing. You know, they were joining, you know, our story, our storyline. They were joining our party.
Mm-hmm.
This time, the difference is I'm invading somebody else's party. That's
yeah.
the difference.
Okay. I get it.
Right.
And I get it good.
So,
go ahead.
Pam, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you use your radio voice when you're on the phone?
I have to be careful with my voice, and that's an interesting question, because I don't realize, you know, when I'm talking to people on the phone that, you know, sometimes I am using a little more voice than normal, and when you're talking to receptionists or administrative assistants or, you know, like, or R&D people or scientists or engineers, they're a little more, like, low-key. And, you know, a little more, monotone. And immediately sometimes my voice will throw somebody off, and it immediately gets them very suspicious. So I have to remember that I'm not...
You have to use your sourcing voice?
Yeah, I mean, I have to like, take it back a notch or two.
Interesting. I've never heard that you say that before, Pam.
Yeah.
I'm surprised as well.
And the other part of it is that I don't have... what you would call a soft or quiet voice. You know, it's out there, and it's a low voice, and believe it or not, I throw more women on the phone than I do men. It's interesting.
You throw more women?
Yeah, they when they hear the voice, it absolutely, you know, if I'm not careful, you know.
Pam has a dream.
What is my dream?
Well, see, don't you want to be a voiceover, like on CNN?
I call them because they have no female voiceover talent. It makes me very angry.
They have no female voiceover talent?
Not one. And their marketing guy was very cool about it. I mean, he was very honest. He said, we don't have any female voices on CNN. I went, I know. That's why I'm calling.
Can we get the top
CNN broadcasts around the world. Some places don't want female voices.
Well, we're talking local now. International.
I'm just kidding.
In the international realm, they do use female voiceover, but not for domestic.
Mm.
Wow.
That's interesting.
There's a little nebulous fact there.
Michael, can we get this out to anybody at CNN so Pam can be rediscovered?
Can we insult
somebody? Oh, but I don't want them to rediscover her.
Okay.
Although Pam wants to be. Pam, do you want to be?
Well, I don't know anymore. I kind of like this. You see, what's weird is I kind of like the anonymity of this, but Maureen keeps dragging me out.
Well, you know what? It's pretty anonymous when you do voiceovers as well, just so you know.
Well, I know, but still.
We know what happens.
On to Gorbachev.
Gorbachev. Pam, one last thing. We know what happens when you leave the confines of your home, right?
Oh, my God. See, I believe all of America should, everybody in the whole world should be working virtually, especially in recruiting and sourcing. there's no need to be stuck in somebody's office, by the way. I just think that's
okay,
ridiculous.
We'll save that speech for another time.
Right.
You've already got us waiting.
But, okay. Now I don't know where to go.
How many times did you meet him? You didn't sleep with him, did you?
Oh, no. What happened was, at the time, I worked for a radio group here in Atlanta that used to be the flagship station for the Atlanta Falcons. And I was very, very heavily involved in their marketing. And it was game day, and 3 hours before, you know, kickoff, and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, making sure the broadcasts are rolling and everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. What happened was we get a phone call from the guy who was doing our traffic and said, hey, by the way, because we did traffic from the air on game day so people would get stuck and traffic jams.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Oh, I thought we had an hour and a half.
Well, you don't want to take an hour and a half. People
well, okay.
are going to listen.
But if it's compelling, it's okay.
Okay.
So here's the story. So I get a call from a traffic guy saying, look, I just met Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, at this private airfield that where our plane was for the traffic. And I've invited him and our entire entourage to, you know, the station suite for the game. I went, you're kidding. No, can you get clearance? Oh, my God. So I'm getting, you know, the stadium security people involved, you know, the head of the, you know, football team, the Atlanta Falcons, and we got him clearance and brought 20 people in unnoticed into the stadium to see his very first American football game. This man had never seen an American football game ever in his life in person. get him up to her suite. He is surrounded, not kidding, by 20 people.
How
it was very frightening. It is a no-smoking stadium. We had to get permission to allow Mikhail Gorbachev and his entire Russian friends, you know, permission to allow him to smoke in the suite, and they did smoke. And what was interesting is, and this is what's still fascinating to me to this day, the reason why he was in Atlanta is that he was starting an organization called the Green Corporation. Now, here we are all these years later, and who's heading up this whole green campaign right now? It's Al Gore. And it fascinates me. And the other thing about Mikhail Gorbachev is that he understands and speaks English, but refused to speak it in public in front of any of us in the state. They drank vodka, they were smoking, and when he decided to move, everybody moved. So I met him. There you go.
What about his wife? I mean, she's kind of cute.
No, she was his wife Raisa, I think, had passed at that point. His daughter was with him.
Okay.
Yeah. But he enjoyed the game. And then when too many people wanted to come into the suite and ask for his autograph or get a picture, he would get very nervous. And he, talk about a world leader. He didn't have to speak a word, but everybody knew, I've had enough here.
Uh-huh.
That's power.
Maureen, you want to wrap it up? Thank you, Pam.
You're very welcome.
How tall was Mikhail Gorbachev?
How tall?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 5'10", 5'11".
Oh. Okay.
And he had a guy. Oh, my gosh. He had a guy. I think it was his personal bodyguard. He was young, like you picture, a young Russian guy.
Mm-hmm.
He had that black hair, military cut, the porcelain skin, but the bright red cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this briefcase. It was a metal briefcase, and he never put it down the entire 3 hours.
Is that like the briefcase that they carry?
I don't know what it was. We didn't ask.
You mean the nuclear weapons?
I don't know.
It was an MP5.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. It was like, don't ask. So.
Are we finished here, Michael?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff, for coming. You're welcome to come again. Call in any Wednesday. That's a good name for a movie, Call in Any Wednesday.
It is.
Dr. Nick, thank you to you. Pam Simonstein, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Vampira, go back to sucking. Goodbye,
bye,
everybody.
Everyone.
Go, go, go!